Welcome, friends. James Corbett here from CorbettReport.com. Coming to you, as always, from the land of the rising sun here on the 16th of February, 2015. And I have a question for you to start today's conversation. The question being, are you one of the 31% of Americans who have looked for a job in the past 4 weeks, but are still jobless after 6 months or more? Or are you one of those quote-unquote lucky individuals who actually does have a job, but like 75% of Americans and similar numbers around the world find that job unfulfilling? Or are you just starting off in life and wondering how you're going to land that dream job without getting tens of thousands of dollars into debt to get your college degree? Well, if any of these considerations apply to you, or others, I should say, you might be interested in Reaching the Finish Line, a new book by career consultant Callan Diggs that is available for purchase through reachingthefinishline.com. Currently as an ebook, and as I understand, it is forthcoming as a paperback, and we are lucky to be joined on the line today by Callan Diggs, the author of that book at reachingthefinishline.com. Callan, thank you for joining us on the program today.
James, thank you for having me.
Well, it is good to have you here to talk about a topic that we have talked about several times in the past here at the Corbett Report, namely the college trap that has been sprung on a generation now of Americans who have been convinced that the only way that they can possibly succeed in life is to attain that college degree, and the only way they can attain that college degree is to go tens of thousands of dollars into debt. We've reached a situation where now student loan debt is at epidemic levels and has surpassed even credit card debt in terms of the overall consumer debt levels in the United States. And this is specific to America, but I think that broadly speaking, this idea that we need a college degree, speaking as a Canadian, I can tell you that's very much implanted in the Canadian culture as well and many places around the world. So I think this Reaching the Finish Line is a very interesting and very detailed, very specific idea of how people can go about getting a dream job or landing a career at any rate without a high school diploma or without a college degree, or at least how you can get a college degree cheaper and easier. So some very practical information in this book. But before we get into that specific information, Callan, perhaps you can just tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do and how you came to write this book.
Great. So I've been, since the Great Recession, I helped over 2,000 people reach the finish line in their careers. So some people without high school diplomas, people without college degrees, even people who have college degrees, but they want to change their careers, but they want to go back to school to do it. So I've also helped those people as well to be able to change their careers successfully without going back to school. So hopefully that tidbit sums me up.
Absolutely. Well, it is, as I say, a very practical guide that you've written here with a lot of specific information that will be helpful, certainly to people specifically in the United States. But I think there's information here that's applicable in a lot of different Western countries. So let's talk about some of that information, and specifically talking about what I addressed there at the beginning, the idea of the college trap, this idea that has been inculcated in so many of us that we can't possibly land a good job or even a career without that piece of paper from a college institution telling us that we are worthy of it. And it's something that I myself fell into, and I went not only through my bachelor's degree, but got my master's degree as well in Anglo-Irish literature. And it's completely useless to me in my current line of work and doesn't help me at all on a daily basis. So, I mean, from that perspective, I suppose it was a monumental waste of time and money, but I suppose there were some graces to that that piece of paper, namely the social aspects of attending university and the fact that I just didn't know at the time what I wanted to do. So it was a way of kind of stalling for me. But I'm sure you've dealt with a lot of people in similar situations who end up in jobs completely different than what they actually trained for. Can you speak to this idea that we have been taught for so long that college degrees are the be-all and end-all of what it takes to land that job?
Absolutely. Government paints the perception that we need a college degree. Our parents paint the perception that we need a college degree. We see our peers who are very successful, and they have college degrees, so they think, well, this is why I need to be successful. And the reality is college can be helpful if you are doing something that's specialized. So if you're in a specialized profession, if you're doing engineering, or if you're looking to careers in healthcare or science, then it could be very valuable to have a college degree. But I want to say more than half college degrees. I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that education is useless, but the investment that they have to make to get the education looking for a job is totally useless and it's totally ridiculous. A lot of these majors that students are interested in, they can sort forms of alternative education, and where it's very low cost, and even in a lot of instances, it's also free. Yale, MIT, they have these types of programs called open courseware, where there's a specific a subject they're interested in, they can study for free. They don't have to pay anything. All they have to do is go online and create an account, and basically they have the same access to education as a person that's seeking a degree. So I really think that it's important for the student to, or the person for that matter, to analyze what they really want to study and to see if college is worth it. Again, if it's specialized, absolutely. But if it's not specialized, if they want to give it a second thought.
You make a couple of very important distinctions there that I want to echo. Firstly, that I'm not saying that education is a bad thing in and of itself. I mean, obviously, the things that I learned during my university time were interesting to me, and I got something out of them personally. But in terms of actually applying that in the real world is a different step. And also, absolutely right. If you are in a specialist trade that requires specialist training and education, of course, that type of higher learning can be, not only useful, but usually mandatory in some sense or other. And in fact, yes, everyone that I knew during my university time who was studying a specialist course, nursing or biology or computer science, is currently employed in that. Whereas with English majors, they're all over the board working in all sorts of different positions at this point. So it certainly is something that can be quite useful if you know exactly what it is you're doing there. But as you say, there are new things that are coming along, like open courseware and things of that nature, free online learning, that it's completely changing the landscape of what education even means in our current day and age, to the point where I think that the old paradigm is based very much on this idea you're going to train in one thing and you're going to do that one thing for the rest of your life. But as I'm sure you can attest to, that is not the way most people experience their careers in this day and age, with most people changing jobs and even changing industries and professions several times throughout their life. How does that change our perception of what education is, or how it can work for us in terms of achieving our goals?
Absolutely. So I think that's very important. So again, you know, really, really the society that we live in, you know, a lot of westernized cultures, it's been indoctrinated to think that we need to go to college or to be successful. And if we look even deeper, with a lot of these majors with college degrees, it's almost that college degree is the new high school diploma. Even sometimes it's mandatory that you go to college, because most employers are not going to hire you unless you have a college degree. But then we see from there that even the positions that require a college degree, it still doesn't pay enough to justify the cost of education. So there's a lot, as we talked about before about open courseware, there's a lot of alternatives. A person doesn't have to get in tens of thousands of dollars of debt. It's sad to say, but a lot of people are going to end up dying with their student loan debt because it's atrocious. It's so much. If a person only gets a bachelor's degree, unless they're not necessarily picky about what they're studying, let's just say that they're not sure, but they want to start going to college, maybe start studying some general education courses. Well, there's ways in where a person can get a bachelor's degree in 1 year. And that's unheard of because, again, indoctrination, governments, you know, a lot of these higher education institutions tell us that, well, it takes 4 years to get a bachelor's degree. You got to get your 120 credits, and it's going to take you 4 years to do it. Well, there's something that's called CLEP courses, or DSST courses. Basically, it's credit by examination, and where you can test out of these subjects. Now, the majors are more constricted, so they're not as vast as if you go to a college to try to seek a major to apply for. But again, if a person, let's say, like, for example, some examples are liberal arts, criminal justice, computer science, like those type of more common majors, if a person kind of has interest in those type of majors, they can actually get their bachelor's degree in 1 year as opposed to doing 4 years. And they're going to end up paying less than $10,000 rather paying $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000. So that's kind of a huge paradigm shift, James, and a lot of people are now aware of that, but really is being more persistent and kind of thinking outside the box and being creative of how you approach education.
Well, exactly right. And let me just reiterate, that is in chapter 6 of the book, Graduate with a Bachelor's Degree in 1 Year. And you have a list here. You break down exactly what types of requirements are needed and how they can be tested out with various CLEP and DSST examinations. So absolutely. I mean, that's one example of how we can completely and utterly just take the actual requirements and think of them in a very different way and achieve something different than what we are told is possible. But I, on that very note, I mean, even just the fundamental idea itself of this process of education, which is you go to college for 4 years and then you get a piece of paper and then you're done, which of course is not reflective of anyone's reality in this current day and age. I would say, at any rate, that that education really is a lifelong process, and that's why I think self-learning and the ability to motivate yourself to find information and source it and understand it is so important. And I think that's becoming more and more reflected in the job market itself, in the types of jobs that now exist, and the ability for people to work as more in a self-starter, self-employed, self-styled type of career path. And you do have some notes here on, for example, how people can start working from home or to work to get a full-time salary on part-time hours. Tell us a little bit about some of the different ways that people get around that expectation that the job is going to be a 9-to-5 grind at the cubicle, and then you'll come home and kick up your feet and that will be that.
Yeah. So a lot of people, some people are kind of engineer in where they want to be more, self-employed, and they don't want to work for someone, and they would rather be the boss. They would rather kind of control their destiny, kind of control how many hours they work, or kind of dictate, you know, how much they want to get paid. And that's great, you know, because, you know, we definitely need all types of people, because that's how our economy works. Some people want to be employees, some people want to be business owners, some people want to be kind of self-employed. That's how our economy functions. Now, if a person wants to work from home, there's a lot of options. A person can do something as freelance writing. A person can do something as they can work for someone else, perhaps. Maybe they could do things like customer care, or they can do things like SEO, like search engine optimization, things of that matter. But there's also a lot of brick and mortar types of employers who will hire you, but would not require you to come into the office, because the nature of the position doesn't require you to come in the office to perform the work. So there's a lot of employers like U-Haul, Dell, Microsoft, these different types of companies, and where, you know, it's a regular career as any other career, but you actually do it from home. And sometimes they may provide different types of equipment you're going to need to be able to do your job effectively. But that is one option. Another option, I'm talking about working full-time hours on a part-time, basically working part-time hours on a full-time income. One way that a person can be very effective in that is doing something like event promotions. And now, just as you said before, James, the things I'm saying is really applicable anywhere. You don't have to live in the United States for this, although a lot of the suggestions that I recommend are companies or things in the U.S., but the universal principles, I mean, these principles can be applied anywhere. So when it comes to event promotions, simply how that works is where, let's say a cellular mobile company like AT&T, okay, they want to execute a back-to-school campaign. Now, they're not going to put an ad out and do it. They're going to usually hire a marketing firm. So once they hire a marketing firm to execute the assignment, the marketing firm is going to look to subcontract that workout. And you could be a person that you may see a flyer and an ad for that very position. You may be interested in that. And these positions pay anywhere between $16 to $25 an hour. I'm not sure how that converts in Japan or a lot of other countries. But the bottom line is when you compare it on a social economic scale, it's actually very lucrative. And if you get multiple assignments from different marketing firms, then that could be a nice little career for someone, instead of, you know, being tied to a 9-to-5 job. So hopefully those suggestions are helpful.
Well, Kellen, as you say, you've been a career coach now for a couple of thousand people over the past 5 or 6 years, and I'm sure in that time you've had a great opportunity to observe people who actually set and make and achieve their goals and those who fail at doing so. What would you say is the main difference between the people who are able to actually get what they want out of their career, out of their life, and those who fail at that?
Yeah, I really think is the lack of persistency. So some people are persistent and other people are not. A lot of people find complacency. So they think, well, you know, this is how my peers, this is their lifestyle. Well, that's probably my lifestyle as well. And that's very true. And the adage that goes, birds of the same feather flock together. And those type of people you're going to hang out with, well, that's the type of success you'd like to have. So if you want to have different results, a person needs to change their peer group. And sometimes that's hard, because sometimes that could be your family, or it could be your friends, or it could be people you have learned to respect for a certain amount of time, and that could be hard to kind of pull away from that. So what makes people successful is by having motive and then motivation. So a lot of people, you know, sometimes those two words are used interchangeably, but there's a distinct difference. Motive is the reason why you're doing it. Right? Motivation is the feeling that's compelling you to do it. So a person hates their job. The person know why they know why that they hate their job. So their motive may be, you know, they want a better job with better pay or better benefits. And the motivation may be they don't like the way that their employer's treating them. They could be yelling at them, or the way that they could be disciplined, unprofessional. There's probably lots of ways that cause a person to be dissatisfied. But that's the rub is. The persistence in a person wanting to be successful. And if a person is persistent and if they have a motive tied with motivation, that's what's going to help them reach the finish line.
You know, that's an interesting distinction and one that I hadn't heard before, but it makes a lot of sense that we all have motivations, you know, whether it's the boss screaming at us or whatever, but to have a motive, to actually have a clear goal of what you want to achieve is the first step to, of course, actually being able to achieve it. And it really does, I mean, come down to the people who continue to work and those who will just give up and sort of go along with the status quo. And I think, well, I hope that Corbett Report listeners tend to fall into the former category rather than the latter. For those people who are interested in this work, I'll of course once again suggest that they at least check out the website reachingthefinishline.com, which will be linked up in the show notes. But tell us a little bit about the book and how people can get a copy.
Absolutely. So if you go to www.reachingthefinishline.com, that's where I have the ebook version. I also have the paperback version. I autograph all the copies, all the paperback copies there. You can get that right away, so you don't have to wait till that comes out. However, if you go through Amazon, then you're going to have to wait. But that could be immediately purchased through my website, reachingthefinishline.com. And also, if you subscribe to my list, like you get a free business guide and you get exclusive content by the moment. A lot of things that I kind of usually reserve to my email of subscribers. So reachingthefinishline.com, and you can go there for more information.
All right, Callan Diggs, thank you very much for your time on this important topic today. I appreciate it.
James, thank you for having me.